Shall we sing together? Would you stand and sing with us, please?
Said, amen. Please be seated.
Good morning and welcome to Helotes Hills United Methodist Church. My name is Cheryl Broom and I am blessed to be your senior pastor here and welcome you this Christmas Eve morning. Today we're going to talk about Mary and we're going to talk about Mary's song, the Magnificat. It's different than what we'll do tonight on Christmas Eve service. We'll have a candlelight service tonight with a whole different message. Hallelujah?
Hallelujah?
Okay, you didn't sound that great or happy. Today, Helotes Hills gives you this wonderful gift. We're celebrating the greatest gift of all time, the gift of Jesus Christ. And so we want you to get this key ring. If you didn't get one, the ushers will give you one on the way out. And when you use it, just remember that Christ is the greatest gift of all time. Amen? Okay, yellow and blue cards. It's a game called Prayer Request and Sign In if you've never been to this church before. Blue card is if you've never been here before, we want a little bit of information. And the yellow card is our prayer card. And we take these cards and our prayer team leader writes them all up and sends them to your prayer team, who confidentially holds these in you in our prayers during the whole week until the next time. So fill those out if you need a prayer. Put those in the offering plate as it goes by, and we will hold you in our prayers. It's a busy day. The bells are here. I didn't even hear a ring. I thought, you know, Andrew, you would have something.
No,
okay. Tonight he will, because the bells will be back tonight at 7 to play. So let's get started in worship.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. My name is Roy Baldwin, and I am going to be your new administrative board chair starting in 2024. And it's my privilege to welcome you to worship this morning. We're going to light the Advent candles. As we light these candles, we begin worship to symbolize Christ's presence with us. Would you please stand in body or spirit as we welcome the light of Christ? Our scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, and I will be reading from the New International Version. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased in their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoiced at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and the peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over all of his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with the justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty God will accomplish this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Everlasting Father, as we gather this morning and hear the words of the prophet Isaiah, we find hope and inspiration. We hear the promise of light breaking through the darkness, of a child born who will bring joy and peace to the world that is weary and tired of waiting. As we come before you, we know that darkness still surrounds us. We see the conflicts that divide us, the injustices that plague our society, and the suffering that burdens so many. And yet we cling to the promise that offered by Isaiah, the promise of the light that will shine in the darkness, dispelling fear and illuminating the path ahead. Open our eyes, O God, that we may see the light of Christ shining within us and around us. Fill our hearts with joy and peace that he brings. Grant us the courage to be instruments of your love, sharing your light with all that we encounter. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. At this time, I invite Steve and Virginia Parker to come forward for lighting of the Advent candles.
We celebrate Advent each Sunday with the lighting of these Advent candles. The candles symbolize hope, peace, joy. And today we light the candle for symbolizing the love that Christ brings into the world. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of love to remind us that God loves us unconditionally and sent his son Jesus. It reminds us that we are called to love one another as Christ has loved us. We love God because he first loved us. We love our neighbors as we love ourselves, because God's love simply asks for us to love in return. Let us pray. O God of love, fill our hearts with love for your Son. Help us to love others as he loved us and be God's agents to make the world a more loving place. Amen.
At this time, we'd like to invite the children forward for their spark moment. Good morning. All right. I have a question for y'all that has nothing to do with Christmas. Are you ready?
No.
What was the main theme? That was my child. Thank you. What was the main theme of Jesus' ministry? What did Jesus teach about all the time? Love, that's absolutely right. Jesus taught constantly about love. Come on up, kiddos. He taught about God's love for us, about Jesus' love for us, right? And about how we should share that love with others. And in the fourth Sunday of Advent, I don't think it's any mistake that we are supposed to be talking about love today. Jesus' entire ministry focused on it. Because there's one simple truth that has to do with love. God's love never changes. God's word never changes, and his promises to us never change. They are eternal. They're unconditional. They're not like the seasons where the leaves drop their leaves, or the trees drop their leaves, right? They stay with us forever. And when we share God's love with others, we make that love complete in the world around us. God didn't ask us to take that love and to store it up in our hearts and keep it to ourselves, did he? Jesus told us to what?
Share the love.
Share the love. Love one another as I have loved you. He gave us the greatest commandments. Do you guys remember what those were?
Do not murder.
No, greatest commandments, not the Ten Commandments. Love God above everything else, right?
And
love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus taught about love, and if we are going to be Jesus to the world, that starts and ends with love. And how do we be Jesus to the world? We share compassion, which comes from love. We share generosity, which comes from love, and kindness. I know you can be kind, Michael. I've seen you help others. He's giving me a funny look. So we are going to talk today in Spark Worship about what this fourth Sunday of Advent means. About sharing God's love in the world around us. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to have free choice and crafts today. And we're going to have a whole lot of fun before we come back tonight to celebrate Christ's birth. Does that sound good? All right, let's say a prayer. Bow your heads, fold your hands, close your eyes, and let's talk to God. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
We wait with excitement.
We wait with excitement.
Full of wonder at your birth.
The wonder of your birth.
And your love in our hearts.
In your love in our hearts.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to exit straight out the back and meet Miss Mary back there.
Thank you, Jesse. Free choice crafts, huh?
Yep.
All right, I'll be over later. They're so kind to me. A lot of times Jesse will make crafts and then they bring me what they made and I put it on my refrigerator at home. It's awesome. That's just a little hint, Jesse. Just a little hint. Anyway, before we go to God in prayer, I just want to tell you a little bit of what we do. We pray, and those yellow cards we take to our confidential prayer team and pray over them for you on your benefit. And today, we just go before God, take a deep breath in, and just let it out and relax and be in this place as we examine the wonder of Scripture and what God has to say to us today. Let us pray. God of hope, we come to you filled with anticipation for the coming of your Son. We've heard the promises of your prophets. We long to see them fulfilled. We pray for hope in the midst of darkness, for joy in the midst of sorrow, for peace in the midst of turmoil. Help us believe that your promises are true and that you are coming to make all things new. Lord, hear our prayers. God of peace, we live in a world that's often filled with conflict and division. We pray now for peace in our hearts and in our homes and in our communities. And, oh Lord, we pray for peace in our world. Help us to see one another as brothers and sisters and treat each other with kindness and compassion. Guide our leaders to work for peace and justice and help us to be instruments of your peace in the world. Lord, hear our prayers. God of joy, we come before you this day filled with the promise of your coming. We rejoice in the knowledge that you are with us and that you will never leave us or forsake us. Help us to find joy in the simple things, in the beauty of your creation, in the love of our families and friends. May our hearts be filled with your joy and may it overflow to bless others. Lord, hear our prayer. God of love, we are called to love one another as you've loved us. Help us to open our hearts to your love and to share that love with others. Give us the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, the courage to reach out to those in need, and may your love be the guiding light in our lives, and may it shine brightly in the world. Lord, hear our prayers. God of all creation, we pray for the world that you have made. We pray now for those who are sick and suffering. We pray for those who live in poverty, hunger, disease, and war. We pray for those who are lost and alone. And we pray for those who have no hope. Comfort the brokenhearted, heal the sick, and bring peace to the troubled. Lord, hear our prayer. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So I began to wonder this week as I studied the scriptures, what would life be like if it was a musical and we got to burst into song whenever we were happy or sad or confused or even mad? Our scripture this morning reads like a real life musical, one featuring Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the scripture verses are often called Mary's song, the Magnificat. In Latin, Magnificat means "my soul magnifies the Lord." And it is the opening phrase for the song of Mary that we're going to read today from Luke. She listened, as we will listen to this beautiful song. Open your pew Bibles to page 932. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, like Roy did this morning. So if you have your pew Bibles open, Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. Now, you might want to keep your finger in that place because we're going to refer back to Luke chapter 1 in just a few minutes. Do you have it? Okay. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Yeah, sometimes I just wish that life was more like a musical, one that we could sing our thoughts and prayers throughout the day. And I'll tell you, the honest truth is that I sometimes sing my words and thoughts throughout the day. If you hang around me at all, especially at prayer time, almost at the end of every prayer we do, I say, "Amen." I can't help myself. I want to sing "Amen." And sometimes I sing like when I'm in traffic. Do you sing? Come on, you can be honest with me. I'm your pastor. Sometimes I sing when I want to celebrate good things, and sometimes we sing when we're sad. I can't help myself because praise just erupts in song. And I know many of you are musicians, and praise just erupts in you like song. I've heard it said, Kathy, that those who sing pray twice. It feels that way. We get to pray twice. And that's why I love musicals. Anybody else here love musicals? Yeah. Amen. Preach it. Musicals allow listeners to kind of feel any way that is meaningful to them, whether it's a joyful song with a catchy tune or an emotional connection with a character, the thought-provoking exploration of social issues. Almost everyone loves a musical. Who doesn't love a musical, right? Don't tell me if you don't love a musical. And they're awesome because they're usually upbeat and they have great music in them, wonderful singers. And when something bad happens, well, it's hard to moan too much when you're singing, right? For instance, when not so great things happen, like leaving a job, that can be sad. So here's a song of farewell that you might sing. It might go something like this. "Farewell, old job. Aviator saying goodbye. If we don't meet again, I will not cry. Goodbye. Goodbye. Come on. Goodbye. See, don't you just love a musical? You can make even bad things sound so fun. And just like in real life, there is a prequel. That's what they call a musical. It's the story before the story, but we didn't hear it this morning, so I want you to hear it. It's the annunciation from Gabriel, the angel. So imagine this. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 now through 38. We're going to get the prequel of Mary's song today. So if you have your Bible still open, let's look at chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. I'm again reading from the New International Version. You ready? In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come onto you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she said she would not be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. This too is the word of God for the people of God. I wonder who would respond in song finding out they're going to be pregnant with the Son of God. What would your song sound like if you were going to sing that one? Holy cow. What would your song sound like? Would it be a song of joy and praise or a song of fear and lament? For Mary's song was the Magnificat. Mary responded to this angelic visit by saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Although Mary had some pretty daunting and challenging things that she was going to face, her song was a determined song, a power, bursting with the victory chorus, a love song and praise for God. Here she was, not yet married, but engaged. And she sings praise to God for the great things that God has done for her. Now, the reality of this situation is, as she sings these songs of praise, her life has taken a pretty scary turn. Mary was betrothed to marry Joseph. In Jewish tradition at that time, betrothal was a very formal agreement between families, which marked the beginning of a commitment to marry. An engagement was known as erusin, that's the Hebrew word. It's a formal legal contract preceding marriage. Now, it wasn't just a promise to marry in the future. It was a legally binding contract that she entered into. Part one of the step was to be betrothed. And at the betrothal, frequently there would be the blessing of the cups of wine, and then there would be a ring that was placed on a finger. And that happened for Mary, no doubt. These symbolized the sanctity and union and commitment to God. And it was pretty common to see betrothals happening at a young age, sometimes even in children. Sidebar, it reminds me of a story of me when I was in first grade and my mother was one of the home teachers and we had a party. And in this big party, Robert's mother came up to my mother. Robert was a student with me. I think we were in first grade. And Robert's mother came up to my mother and said, "My Robert wants to claim your Cheryl." I kid you not. And she kept badgering my mom that her son was going to claim me. And my mom simply said, no. And we got out of there pretty quick. Thank goodness we left Oklahoma City. I might have been a child bride. True story. While the Bible did not give us detailed information about Mary and Joseph's betrothal, it's likely that they followed the customary practices of the time. The families would be involved in choosing each other. Scary, isn't it, Jonathan? No, you're not engaged. Andrew is. The families would be involved in choosing the betrothed. And they would have a commitment service, a betrothal service. And mostly when they were betrothed, there was little or no time allowed for them to be together. Okay? They were chaperoned at all times. But one thing from the scripture today is clear. Mary was betrothed to Joseph in a binding legal commitment to marry. Now, let's go back to Mary's predicament. We really don't know Mary's age when Jesus was conceived, but according to Jewish customs at the time, a young woman could be betrothed as early as 12 years old, usually to the mid to late teens. This suggests that Mary could be between the age of 12 and 16 years old when she received Gabriel's angelic announcement of Jesus' conception. I know mothers of daughters are going, oh my gosh, 12 to 16 years old. So here she is, pregnant, yet to be married to Joseph, a combination that you understand now could cause her death in execution. Even if her life was spared, she had to have been unsure how she would fare and what her family would say and how Joseph would react to this news. In ancient Judea, premarital pregnancies were a serious offense. Often, it's carrying with social stigma, legal repercussions. Joseph was betrothed to Mary, and he likely would have faced significant shame and dishonor due to the perceived association with infidelity. According to Mosaic law, a man could divorce his betrothed if, in fact, she was found pregnant before marriage. And depending upon the community's custom, Joseph and Mary might have faced public humiliation and even stoning as punishment for this transgression. Now, while breaking a betrothal was possible, it's not as simple as it is today if you want to break your engagement. You know, you don't like him, you're tired of him, and you just take the ring off and say, I break this engagement. Not so in ancient Israel times. If you were betrothed to somebody, a man could divorce you. He had to have legal grounds to do so, infidelity, inability to live into your marital promises, and he would have to get a get. G-E-T, that is a legal contract in Hebrew to break the marriage and have a divorce. Now, while Jewish law emphasizing upholding tradition, some scholars, they thought maybe Joseph, known for his compassion and righteousness, would have approached this situation with understanding, with compassion. He may have even been willing to forgive Mary and privately put her away through annulment. For divorce. Joseph's recounting of the story, we find God's intervention through dreams and angelic messengers prompting Joseph to accept Mary and the child as holy, fulfilling the prophetic role. This is another sidebar. Now, while in Luke we hear about Gabriel's visit to Mary, he actually visited her. We have to turn to Matthew to see how Joseph interacted with the angel Gabriel, who came to him in a dream. And if you go to Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, you will read about Joseph's response. And yet Mary, here she is still in her pregnancy. Angels visit. No doubt it seemed very unlikely to people around her. And beyond the effect of this news had on her life and reputation, as scary as having a new baby is to a young woman, the prospect of having a baby that would be the savior of the world must have seemed unbelievable. Let's go back to the musical Mary, the Magnificat. In her song, we find that Mary does not hide. She does not bargain. She doesn't even try to talk God out of this calling. Mary praises God, thanking God for the great things that are happening in her life and for the mercy God is showing to God's people. And who knows, maybe even her spontaneous song of praise inspired others, turning this into an opportunity to praise God. Now, isn't that even why we are here today? We came here to hear and join in Mary's song of praise and wonder and awe and thankfulness, all because Mary's song calls us to join in her praise of God. What an amazing gift we get to listen to this song of praise on the very precipice of Christmas as we celebrate the greatest gift of all time, the gift of love found in Emmanuel, Christ with us. Now, I'm pretty certain that my response to this would have been a little different. You know, in my own life, I spend a lot of time praying for God's will. Every day, I pray for wisdom and guidance and clarity and peace. But the reality is, I mostly pray that God will bless the plans I have made. You ever do that? Can I get an amen? I ask God to bless the direction I'm already heading. Oh, Lord, bless these works that I'm about to do. Do you ever find yourself doing that too, praying for blessings upon the things that you have chosen yourself? And if I'm mindful, most of my plans are drawn up and my needs are put in front of God's. Now, I consult God regularly, but I usually have a plan in mind. And I too often find myself asking God to bless the things that I'm doing instead of me doing what God would want me to do. And maybe the saddest thing of all is that when God throws a curveball at me, frankly, praise is not usually my first reaction. Leave San Antonio and go to Austin for seminary, said God. Go to Elgin, said God. Where is Elgin? Move to San Angelo with your family, God commanded. Now head to Cedar Park, God made clear. Packing up again, Cheryl, you're heading to Helotes, God instructed. Can I be honest with you? Thank you. Not every assignment that I get, not every move that I made, did not make me want to break out into song and praise God. Because I didn't know about these far-off places. And I couldn't figure out why God would want to use me to share a gospel message of Jesus Christ in those little bitty towns and places. Do you ever wonder what God's doing when he sends you places too? Do you ever wonder what God is trying to work in your life? And when you get a curveball, or even you get a great assignment, do you break out in song and praise of God? I don't either. Like you, I'm a work in progress. But I am learning to praise God in every season, to be thankful to God, especially when God gives me patience and guidance and help. Leave it to Mary, a young teenage girl, to be a model for us for faith. I figure God didn't choose anybody older for this job because we would have argued with God. And Mary, she's a model for our behavior, acceptance and thanksgiving to her surprise call. And it gives us a powerful example of just how we might embrace our own journey of faith. For in reality, God has a plan for each one of us, just like God had a plan for Mary. And God has a divine plan for us too. And there's going to be times in our spiritual journey when God's plans seem like a sensible step, praise God. And there are going to be times in our journey when we can't figure out what God is doing, and God surprises us. And it may even be undesirable, the direction that we go. Our challenge is to follow God in the unknown and to praise God for every opportunity and every blessing. That's our challenge, and that's our lesson. As we see this young girl accept the greatest gift, when God challenges us, can we say, thank you, God. I praise you, God. You've done wonderful things, and I trust you. Did you realize that every single week in worship, when you come to worship with us, we sing a praise song? We sing a song of unending praise. We call that the doxology. It literally means hymn of praise. And it happens after our offering. It is a response to God for the opportunity that God gives us to give back in our pledges and tithes. You know the song? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise God above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. What a beautiful song of praise you just gave. And wouldn't it be amazing if we could break out in song every time we get a surprise gift from God? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. See, Mary sings, and this simple act of praise personifies the attitude which we can have as we approach life. She praises God even when she's scared and unsure what her next steps will be. She praises God for the immeasurable gift of Jesus the Christ. She praises God, although after this story, Mary's not mentioned much more in the Bible. But I would imagine that she spent her life praising God. When we choose to praise God instead of moaning or trying to negotiate God's will for our lives, we acknowledge our humanness and God's wisdom. We acknowledge our dependence on the one who created us and knows us better than we even know ourselves. In my own faith journey, God has demonstrated to me over and over and over ad nauseum that God knows more than I know. And God is always right in the direction that he asked me to go. And from this day forward, I will try hard to be like Mary, the example of our little sister, the mother of God, and say, thank you, Lord. I praise you, God. My friends, this is Christmas Eve. It's a day to take Mary's song to heart. And let us feel the warm gift of God's love as we embrace that God has given birth to his son. Allow this story to resound in you, becoming a musical for your life. And at the same time, allow the love to unfold in your life, because God will use whoever God wants to use to give us that message. It could be a teenage girl. It could be a little boy. It could be an old man or an older woman. God will use all of us if we will open our hearts and avail ourselves for God's use and let God's love transform our lives and guide our actions. Amen? Amen. Amen.
At this time, I invite you to
prepare your hearts, provide your offerings to the Lord. I've always been asked to talk about why we give, because I've been greatly blessed, and in my giving, I'm inspired by the wise men that 2,000 years ago came and gave to the Christ child their very best, and so I think we should do the same. Will the ushers please come forward to receive our morning offering?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you? this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great
stand in body or spirit as we sing our song of praise. Almighty God, as we consider Mary's song of praise, our hearts are filled with awe and wonder, joy and surrender. We join her in glorifying your holy name, acknowledging your boundless love and mercy. With open hearts, we offer ourselves to you, Lord. May we, like Mary, become vessels of your grace. May your will be done in our lives, just as it was done in hers. Empower us to be instruments of your peace and love in this world. May our lives reflect the light of your Son, bringing hope and joy to all that we encounter. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you. So tonight we'll have the bells and the choir, and we'll have candlelight and fire. Sorry, trustees. Dick will hold a fire extinguisher, and we'll have flashlights for the kids and gifts. Invite your friends and family and neighbors to come and join and celebrate, making this their Christmas tradition to celebrate the birth of Christ with a candlelight service. So I invite you back again at 5, and once more at 7 o'clock. We have parking in the north lot. If you're able-bodied and able to withstand the walk, could you park there? Also, in front of the youth house, there are plenty of parking spaces. If you find that there's parking plugged up, go and park in front of the house, okay? You won't keep me in. I'm staying in tonight. All right? So let's say what we believe our mission is in this neighborhood, in this neck of the woods, that we believe this church is calling us to do. Will you say it with me? The mission of Helotes Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and the world. That's a big job, but I think you can do it. You're destined to do it. God has big plans on your life. sing praise. Amen. I send you forth into this beautiful, bright day. The darkness will come tonight. Let's live in the light as we can and go forth with the message of grace that God gave to Mary. Let the Spirit live within you so fully that others will want to know, who is this God you serve? Go forth in peace. Amen.